खुदा से मेरी मुश्किलें बड़ी हैं, ये मत कहो खुदा से मेरी मुश्किलें बड़ी हैं, ये मुश्किलों से कह दो मेरा खुदा बड़ा है। आती है आंधियां तो कर उनका खैर मकदम, आती है आंधियां तो कर उनका खैर मकदम, तूफान से ही तो लड़ने खुदा ने तुझे गढ़ा है। ये मत कहो खुदा से मेरी मुश्किलें बड़ी हैं, ये मुश्किलों से कह दो मेरा खुदा बड़ा है, मेरा खुदा बड़ा है, मेरा खुदा बड़ा है।
ओम शांति। Very, very warm welcome to everyone who's traveled from near and far to be here today. I'm just curious, who haven't met Dadi this trip at all? A good number. Dadi's date was very uncertain because it depended on Nivay Bhai getting well, and it depended on also Nadi Ratan Moini getting back from Mauritius and being well enough to manage things in Abu. And so everything happened at the last minute, but not unusual for the UK. You're used to Dadi coming and not coming and suddenly coming. And also, of course, this time, as I say, the seniors, all of them are touching 80 or above. Incredible. The Dadis, of course, you know, 90s, Dadi Ratan Moini, the youth Dadi. Guess how old she is? The youth Dadi. She's 90. Dadi Gulzar, 87 this year. So, but I didn't realize, I thought that the senior brothers were in their 70s, and I discovered that all three of them are touching 80. So that's the drama, and we continue to see how it plays out. But the good news, Dadi Ratan Moini is fine, Nirbhay Bhai is on the mend, and we have the fortune of Dadi here. When I was hearing the song, I thought I'd take up the subject of destroyer of obstacles. Do you know what the song says? The Hindi walas know, and the others, don't tell God of the problems and difficulties, but rather tell the difficulties that God is bigger than them, and they'll go away. Of course, the Hindi is rhyming and everything, but that's the essence of what that particular song was all about. Even something as big as the Himalayas changes. I want to take up the question of where obstacles begin. And it wasn't recently, it was quite a while ago, but you know how Dadi shares things and takes them again and again, comes back to them, adds to them and so on. And some time ago, she was sharing how first the thing that happens is that there's a shadow over the soul. And the shadow comes because I'm not keeping a clear link with Baba. And so something or another is influencing the soul, and you're not able to think so clearly, you're not able to understand so clearly, and of course then that opens the door for mistakes. And the other side, if there's been attention on soul consciousness, then that attention on soul consciousness means that it's Baba's influence on the soul, and then there's less likelihood of any mistakes being made. But the shadow on the soul and haven't been soul conscious enough, and so many other things around me can begin to influence me. And because of that shadow, not thinking clearly, then it's likely there'll be a mistake made. And if I deal with the mistake fairly rapidly, I finish off whatever is there and it's settled. But if I don't do that, then that's what leads to an obstacle. Then it's actually something that I myself have created, but I haven't understood that, and it's my mistake that's brought that on. And then in bhakti they say, when there are obstacles, there are different ways of dealing with them. One of the memorials of Ganesh, the elephant god, he's remembered as the one who's the destroyer of obstacles. And they also say that the swastika, when they're drawing the swastika, they call that the Ganesh. And so the one side, the elephant, and on the other side, the swastika. And so where does it match up? Why both Ganesh? Sometimes they even call the Ganesh, the swastika Ganesh. And it's because Ganesh, the god of wisdom, and the birth of Ganesh, the union, and of course bhakti webs, creates a web that's a bit more entangled, but essentially the union of Shiva and Parvati, the one who stays beyond, the one who follows the path of purity. And you have Baba, you have purity, and the union of soul with God, and wisdom is born. And so, as I say, bhakti is a bit of a web and takes you astray. But the essence of that story is the birth of Ganesh, the birth of wisdom. And then think about the starting point of wisdom. And Baba always talks about Swadarshan Chakradhari. It came up in yesterday's Murli, it came up again today, this title that Baba gives us. And it's a title that Baba used to, well, it came in the Sakar Murli, so you know that. But it was a title that Sakar Baba used to use in letters even. When Baba would write to somebody, Baba would say, the jewel of Baba's eyes, Swadarshan Chakradhari, and whatever was the name. So it was something that Baba was very frequently using in his language. And so perfect wisdom, or the starting point of wisdom even, perfect wisdom is, yes, I've seen the self through the whole cycle and there's total realization. But the starting point of wisdom also, being able to see the self. And this is why Ganesh is remembered as the destroyer of obstacles. At the point where I can truly see myself and be able to see myself dispassionately, detached observer of the self, and also dispassionately without emotion. Because sometimes when we see our weaknesses, we get emotional about them, or we feel guilty about them. But dispassionately, honestly, I see both. I see the specialities, and it's important to see those so that I can continually use them. And as I continue to use them, I get more and more blessings from Baba and more blessings from others. And so that gives a lot of strength, but also my weaknesses. And in that honest appraisal of the self, how many times did Baba tell us today, ask yourself this, 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 and this, and this, and this. So being able to check myself, see myself very clearly. And when I can do that, then take help from Baba and change whatever it is I need to change. From that moment on, the obstacle is destroyed. Because with that realization, then in my realization, I know what it is I have to do. And it's difficult to acknowledge this at first, that what seems to be an obstacle is something that I've created, but how can it be otherwise? If I tell people out there, every obstacle is what you've created, they'd have a shock. But yet in Gyan we understand that somewhere along the line, somehow the connections of karma, and yes, this obstacle is my own creation. And so when I'm able to see this, then I'm able to take help from Baba, shift what I need to shift within myself, and I begin to see a change happen. And so maybe it's my reactions, and that's the feeling that I'm getting, something not right at all, I change that. Maybe the obstacle is appearing in the form of relationships. Again, if I'm able to shift that for myself, within myself, then my input within the relationship is changing. And so what's going to come out, if not immediately, probably not immediately, probably take a while, but whatever it is, it's going to shift and it's going to make a difference. And so that relationship isn't an obstacle anymore. Sometimes it's a relocation. I've seen that happen also. I'm relocated, the other one is relocated, but whatever it is, there's a change. And so that obstacle has gone. Circumstances and situations, maybe health, maybe finance. Again, being able to see what it is you need to do, and things begin to shift again. So wisdom, and using wisdom to be able to settle things and make the changes I need to do. And the wisdom to not react in the face of those problems and challenges, but to be able to stay calm and cool and deal with them. Another way of dealing with obstacles in bhakti, they say, wear the ring of the 8 jewels. And usually what I've seen is a square ring. And they have all the different jewels, a variety of colors, and in the center, a tiny little diamond. And so the 8 jewels and the central one, Shiv Baba, in the middle. And they say, that's going to remove your obstacles. Sounds crazy. Real superstition. But where did it begin? In Sangam Yuga. And so a close connection with one of the 8 jewels, with all the 8 jewels, so one of them. And the question, of course, now, how do you have a close connection with the 8 jewels? Well, we have Dadi still, and so the close connection is not a physical one, but Dadi always describes being close as one who's equal in effort. And the effort that Dadi is making herself, she always shares in her classes. She tells us very, very openly what it is she's going through and what it is she's practicing in her awareness. And so practice those things and you come close. But also, many, many here within this gathering have had practical experiences in a very intimate way with Dadiji, with a few, with Bibi, not so many, but some, but also with Manohar Dadi, with Dadi Gulzar, with, you name them and you probably know all of them. And I know that Baba says he's not declared who the 8 jewels are finally, but Baba Mama, yes, but of course we know it's the Dadis. And then there's that one space that is vacant for a last go fast soul. Why I believe that, well, Dadi keeps telling us that there's one space left, definitely, and anyone can jump in and fly and be part of that. And why I believe it is because Baba loves novelty, newness, and surprises. And so somebody you did not expect, and yet they're making that internal incognito effort to be close to Baba and the 8 jewels, and suddenly they'll appear on the stage. Anyone think it could be them? Don't put up your hands. because then you probably won't be. But it's a possibility, isn't it? A very strong possibility. But my point that the quality of effort, and whether it's your personal memories of these very precious jewels, and there's something that you've seen that stays in your mind, maybe that it is humility. And when I was reading the blessing today, of course she came to mind, because that stage that Baba was talking about, Nirmal, that's soft and flexible and very firm and disciplined inside, but externally in terms of relationships, very flexible and easy and soft, but also then the humility and the success. When there is that experience of being flexible and adjustable, it takes a lot of humility. Otherwise you're very rigid and stuck to our own ideas. But when there's easiness and flexibility, you're very confident inside. And in that self-esteem and self-respect, you're easy to say yes to others. Where I lack that inner state of self-esteem and value for myself, I get stuck and very rigid to my ideas, very fixed. But the flexibility and the adjustability, when nothing can shake me, my dignity is in my own hands, and so saying yes to no to you is not a big deal. You see, when there's uncertainty and the lack of self-esteem, then I want to hang on, because that's my proof that yes, you do value me and you do want to agree with me, but otherwise you're willing to let go. And so humility. So I'm describing one particular quality of Dadiji, but closeness to the eight jewels and Baba, and you're able to become the destroyer of obstacles. Their training, their life, the virtues that they've embodied, all of that are lessons. And of course that has extended our vision beyond the eight to all the ancestor souls. And she loves looking at that photograph that they've made for her in Madhuban, Mama and all the ancestors. And so she'll often look at that whenever she sees it. And when she doesn't see it, she'll ask for it. Where is it? Bring it. So each one of them with amazing renunciation and tapasya and service, and so we're able to take inspiration and become the destroyers of obstacles. The third way that they destroy obstacles in bhakti, they have a yajna, they have the havan, and they say this is going to purify the atmosphere, this is going to change things, and they do that. When big things happen, there's a famine that comes, there's a drought that comes, there's a war that's going on, big things, and they'll say, this is what we need to do. Have a sacrificial fire, the yajna, the havan, and then they'll do everything on the external level. And yet this is exactly what Baba's teaching me. Baba's saying, have your own special bhatti. Create a timetable in which you're able to light the fire of yoga. And in that fire of yoga, sacrifice whatever it is you need to sacrifice. It's fascinating for me to see how Bhakti remembers all of these things in very external ways. But then Baba's teaching us what we need to do here and now for ourselves at this moment. And so when I see that things aren't working out, I can moan and groan and complain and say why, and I'm stirring up dust and it's clouding my vision even more, and I'm trying to see who's at fault, who's to blame. But I was saying, light the fire, have the havan, have the sacrificial fire. So say, okay, whatever it is I don't know where it started, I don't know how it started, I don't know how it's going to finish, it doesn't matter. But I do know that it's yoga that's going to sort it all out. The wholesale answer, yoga. And it's exactly what Baba's been teaching us. If there's something specific that you want to deal with in yourself, have special yoga for that. Even if it means as simple as 10 minutes extra after Amrit Vela to finish whatever it is I need to finish within myself. Keep going, keep going, keep going. The fire is going to work and it's going to finish it. I don't know that many of us get a chance for a whole day bhati. If you do, fantastic, do that. But it doesn't happen so often or to so many of us. But yes, if that's a possibility, do it. One last story and then we'll have yoga so that we invoke Daddy. Some time ago, about 2 weeks ago, there was a gathering of a small number of people in Oxford, and one of them, a politician from England, who's a friend of the family, so we don't see him as a politician, he's just a friend, but he was there, and he said to Daddy, he said it within the circle, and he heard Daddy's answer, but then he met us separately and said it again. And his question was, I'm not able to get rid of my ego. And I really feel I have to deal with this now. What I want is to take a year and go and stay in an ashram somewhere in Asia so that I'm far away from the people who know me and whatever. And I don't mind washing dishes, but I want to get rid of my ego. Do you think Daddy gave him permission? Who thinks he is? No one thinks he is. No, Daddy. Daddy invited him. Daddy invited him to come for a month.
What week is enough?
1 week GRC and it's enough to kill your ego? That's a challenge. In, not just in the kitchen, in the washing up area. But Daddy said to him, it's really going to be proof that you've dealt with your ego when you stay where you are and then work on yourself. Because you'll think you've finished your ego when you run away somewhere, but you'll come back and the monster will still be there probably, because you won't have to face it there. But you'll come back and they'll be there waiting for you. And so he, in the gathering, that he just said, no, deal with it where you are. And then she explained it further to him. And he said, well, Daddy, I'll have to think about this. Wasn't ready to accept it immediately. I'm going to think about it. But so where I am, maybe I can't have a day of silence or a bhati. Maybe I can. If I can, let me do it. And if I can't, then within my timetable, extra meditation, extra meditation. Enough so that then it's not just good yoga, but I can actually feel that it's been the fire of Baba's love and it's been purifying me. And so I think that at this point in the drama, I have to light the fire. The other things are useful, but especially this one, the lighting of the fire. And that happens when there's attention to soul consciousness through the day and through all the mundane things that I do, but then especially